Farming News and Views, brought to you in association with the Farming Independent. First with the Farming News and Views every Tuesday.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, one thing has certainly dominated the headlines locally over the past week or so, and that's the terribly bad weather, and there's been a lot of flooding, of course, in many parts of Donegal. I'm joined by Killigordon dairy farmer Patrick Kelly. Patrick, you've seen what it's like firsthand, the recent flooding, and I suppose, first of all, it's worth pointing out that you do actually take measurements of rainfall for Met Éireann, and so you are probably more qualified than a lot of people locally to just say how bad things have been recently.
Yes, Chris. I keep records for Met Éireann. I record the rain every day, and last weekend was an exceptionally wet weekend, and actually the day, obviously Saturday night and Sunday was when the most rain fell, and I would have recorded 37.6 millimetres on Sunday morning, but it was the cumulative effect of rain over the previous 4 or 5 days that caused the problem in the Finn Valley last weekend, because it continuously rained for about 4 days, and over 100 millimetres of rain fell over that period, and it fell over the whole catchment area. So obviously the Donegal Mountains, the Bluestack Mountains, feed into the River Finn. And there was a very, very intense level of rainfall up in the mountains, and that caused a lot of flooding. And that had to be combined with a particularly high tide on Sunday, which caused all the problems around Cladie and Castlefin, as the water came down from the valley and met the tide coming in, and caused acute flooding in that area.
So effectively, the Finn Valley was the saucer, the basin, all the tributaries feeding into the bigger rivers. They were all coming down, and with the high tide, there was nowhere for the water to go.
That's right, yeah. And unfortunately, for anybody that lives around Castlefin and Cladie, they only know too well where it went. And it's funny, I've watched floods for all my life in the Finn Valley, and it probably wasn't as intense. We had a very high flood, probably the highest in over 25 years. But I think for people around Castlefin, they said it was the highest they'd seen since the 1960s. And I went down to Castlefin myself on Sunday afternoon, and I'd never seen as much flooding around the village. And the bridge itself was virtually covered. And I didn't get as far as Cladie, but I think it was particularly bad down around Cladie as well.
So quite a lot of farmers obviously affected. In terms of the long-term consequences, you know, will the land recover relatively quickly?
Oh yeah, it does. The we've obviously had a lot of flooding in the Finn Valley, and the nature of the Finn is that it goes down very fast. So the river is empty, the fields emptied fairly quickly. It was what we call a top flood, so it filled up all the fields that came over the banks. We've pretty good banks along the River Finn, and it keeps out smaller floods, but this flood was particularly big. It came over the banks, filled the fields, and then it takes about a day for them to empty, but they've gone down fairly well. Although, funny, I was back into Donegal today, and there was a lot of rain last night this morning, so there's quite a lot of backwater back into the fields. So it's just the time of year. It's winter time, and probably if this happened in August, as it would have done in previous years, it would be a lot more severe on farmers. So at this time of year, it's not as severe because it's the middle of winter. But I do know there are farmers further up the valley that would have lost sheep because the floods were particularly higher than most people would have ever expected. And sheep can't cope with that kind of flooding at all and can very easily be lost into the river.
And there were problems for motorists. I mean, there were quite a lot of cars lost as well. And I suppose it really did catch a lot of people by surprise.
Yes, exactly, Chris. I know that there were some very dramatic photographs up in Ballybuffet of floods in car parks. And it was probably the height of the river. As I say, it's probably over 25 years since the river had been that high. And for a lot of people, they'd never seen that level of flooding. You know, I always measure it by Lithgowley Bridge, which is the bridge closest to myself across the River Finn, and it is probably over 25 years since the bridge was flooded, and it was flooded last Sunday morning. And, you know, again, people, unfortunately, when they drive into floods, they can get badly caught with their cars. So the main thing was that nobody was lost, and at times you're never too far away from people being lost. Mm. But thank goodness there was no reported losses, but there was... Certainly, there was very dramatic pictures of Ballybuffet flooding up around Jackson's Hotel.
You mentioned there the banks alongside the Finn, and the OPW has done work over the years. Would it make much difference if they were made much higher, or is there only so much one can really do?
Yeah, like there's, we have good banks, and funny, different parts of Donegal have different ways of maintaining it. And where I live, along from Killigordon to Liscooley, we maintain our own banks, Chris. It's the OPW would have responsibility for areas further down towards the, you know, towards Claddagh and Lifford and down along with Foyle. But certainly in our stretch of the Finn, it's ourselves that maintain the banks. So there's only, yeah, the banks will keep out the majority of floods, but when you get a very, very intense amount of rainfall, they tend to come over the top. It's just the nature of the flooding and the volume of rain we've had. Because I know people have talked about draining the Finn, but I know it's an SAC, so that will be one of the complications for it in the future if they wanted to try and look at draining it. It's you know, there is sort of a conflict between the environment and between looking after farmland. So as long as we're allowed to maintain the banks that we have and are not stopped from doing that, we will keep out a lot of floods with that.
Yeah. Now the Finn, of course, the tidal effect. How far does do we have a tidal influence going up the River Finn?
Yeah, it comes as far as Castle Finn, Chris, and that's why Castle Finn found itself in such difficulty last Sunday morning and even Sunday afternoon, because you had this huge volume of rain water coming down and the tide. I just checked it actually because I was conscious the tide had an impact, and the full tide was in a Derry at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Takes another hour or so to come up the impact of the tide to come up as far as Chaban and then on up the Finn as far as Claddy and Castle Finn. So it was probably around 1 o'clock that they had the most acute flooding around Castle Finn. And one of the problems in Castle Finn is that it was the small streams coming off into the Finn that couldn't sort of get into the Finn, and then the water built back up these streams and caused the flooding around the CPA. That's the area known as the Melbourne in Castle Finn was very badly flooded because obviously the river's full, the whole basin's full, and eventually the water has to go somewhere. And unfortunately, it went into the whole area around the CPA.
So if we take the Finn and both sides and going into Tyrone as well, any idea how many farmers would have been affected directly?
Oh, I wouldn't know the number. Like obviously, anybody who has landed along the river would have been affected. But as I say, it's November, it's winter time. I know in my case, I have my stock inside in sheds, so it's, you know, at least there were no animals that were vulnerable to the floods in that sense. It's just that it does obviously wet the land, so it takes that much longer to dry it out after the flooding. But it's just a fact of life living along the river too, Chris.
Now, it's a fact of life, and yet people, I'm sure, would like to see some sort of remedial action taken. Is that likely? I mean, is it something that most people really just have to put up with? And we do get occasional circumstances like this when we get worse floods than normal.
Yeah, well, the worst impact on anybody's life is when their houses are flooded or their premises are flooded. And I think an element of that happened in Castle Finn last Sunday. And I do think there has to be some consideration of drainage work around Castle Finn Village. It's just, you have to be able to allow water, when you have a huge volume of water, you have to be able to direct it away from buildings towards floodplains and into the river. And having it going and flowing into houses or flowing it into the businesses is something that's just not acceptable. So in my opinion, there would have to be certainly a lot of thoughts put around Castle Finn and what they do with the floodwaters around that village. Yeah.
Now, if we look at the weather that we've had this year, the beginning of the year was relatively mild, mixed enough. The summer was a poor summer. We had a terribly wet August, and there was real concerns about certainly the harvest. Then, I suppose you could call it an almost remarkably good October and September and October, and now we've got another turn in the weather. So, from your records, has it been one of the most unusual years?
Yeah, unfortunately, Chris, in recent times we've had a lot of records broken. You only have to think back to 2011 and 2012 were two particularly wet years. Like in my records, and I have official records for going on 20 years now, and 2011 was the wettest year that I've recorded in Killigordon, and we had just over 1,500 millimetres of rain in 2011. This year to date, we have about 1,126 millimetres of rain, but we still have half of November and December. And, of course, December is one of our wettest months. So it's well on its way to being probably, if not the wettest, one of the wettest years that I've recorded in the last 20 years. So it's been, you know, there's this pattern of having bad summers. We've had two good summers through 2013 and 2014, but last summer was particularly wet. what's quite unusual about 2015, Chris, is that we've had some of the wettest months. Like last January was the wettest January that I've recorded. Again, March was exceptionally wet. May was one of the wettest Mays I've recorded, and July and August were two very wet months. So you just wonder about the intensity of rainfall. We've had lots of floods in the past, but we certainly seem to be having more frequency of intense rainfall. And we know we have the debate about the whole issue of climate change and how we manage that. But there's certainly, even this week, there's been an exceptional amount of rain. So unfortunately, it seems to be breaking too many records of recent.
And it certainly doesn't make life any easier for the farming community.
Yeah, one of the biggest challenges that I had last summer was just managing to make silage, because there was so much wet days through June, July, August. It was very hard to get the weather right to make the silage. And it was very wet, and a lot of farmers had the same difficulty. And of course, in August, a lot of farmers had to put their cattle back into sheds because it got so continuously wet. One of the biggest challenges, Chris, for me as a farmer is the number of wet days we get. It's hard to believe that it was only 10 days last summertime that it didn't rain. So that left over 50 days of continuous rainfall. So that's one of the biggest challenges I find, is that you just have very few dry windows to get your work done.
And indirectly, I mean, people going forward as well, I mean, this all can lead to extra costs and the need to have more sheds?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the big impact on farmers is costs. And even when you have poor weather in the summertime and you've made poor quality silage, that's going to have an impact in the wintertime, because you have to add extra feed to the silage to have the right animal performance. So there's a cost, a direct cost that's easily quantified. But the whole issue of having good facilities and to be able to handle the dirty water around your farmyard too is a cost that you have to continuously invest in. So it does all add costs, and for a lot of farmers, especially in a year like this, where I'm a dairy farmer and we have a particularly bad milk price, so it doesn't make things easier when you have the increased costs along with for milk price.
And finally, I know you do quite a bit of travelling around the country. I mean, it's remarkable how for a relatively small country we have such big regional variations. I remember talking to a farmer in Wexford quite recently, and their year had been quite different to in terms of what weather they've had compared to us, and at times almost the mirror opposite.
Absolutely. It's absolutely remarkable, the differences on this island, even within the likes of the county of Donegal, where there's a number of rain stations, and you know, anyone close to the mountains could have maybe double the rainfall that I would have, and I would have half the rainfall that the east of the county around Calais or down around the border with Derry would have. But even within Ireland, the driest place in Ireland is North County Dublin, and it's just about 120 miles from Donegal, and they would have virtually half the rainfall that we have on an ongoing basis. So there's a remarkable difference in rainfall. It has, you rightly said, it's been actually a very, very good year for the south and east of Ireland. They didn't get the rainfall we got in May, July and August, so they've had a particularly good weather year. So it's just the nature of the island of Ireland.
And looking forward, I mean, despite all the technology, Patrick, weather forecasting, it's a science, and sometimes people get it right, sometimes they don't get it wrong. And
Yeah, in fairness to Met Aaron, there was an orange warning out last weekend, so it wasn't as if they got it wrong in terms of forecasting it. They were spot on in terms of their forecast. So I think this whole issue of the yellow, the orange and the red alerts from Met Aaron is a very good development, because it does allow people to sort of be aware. When you hear of an orange alert, you're going to be that much more conscious of what weather's coming, and hopefully we don't get it too often. If we get red alerts, with that whole alert mechanism, you really need to be on your toes when you get a red alert. So in fairness to Met Aaron, they forecasted an orange alert for last weekend, and it certainly delivered for us in the Fen Valley.
So it's the other factors that Met Aaron aren't going to be overly aware of, exactly how the tidal effect is going to be. And
no, that's right, yeah, and that just is your own local knowledge. Unfortunately, people who have experienced flooding before know those sort of factors come into play. And the classic example is if you have stock next to the river, and we'd have to watch that. I'd have to watch it as a farmer next to the river. If there's an orange alert out for rainfall and you have cattle beside the river, you just have to be conscious of moving away from the river before a flood before we get caught up in a flood. So, you know, you have to use your own sort of common sense in relation to weather. It's, as a farmer, it's the biggest challenge I have is how I manage the weather. It's the number one factor. And, of course, outside in the control, it's up to me to try and manage that.
So prevention is better than cure. If you've a worry, you're better to take the preventative steps beforehand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, certainly in terms of stock. But in saying that, farmers were, like, I think, exceptionally high last Sunday morning, and a lot of farmers may have been caught out with that. So You know, there was fields, say, it's into the 1980s since we had that level of flooding, and for a lot of younger people, they would never have seen that level of flooding. But there's always old people out there, I'll tell you, when the biggest floods in the past have taken place, and people would talk about some of the floods in the late 60s and the early 70s being the biggest floods ever seen. So there's an amazing amount of knowledge among people out there when you talk to them.
So just rounding things up, in terms of the rainfall this year, it could end up being a record year in terms of the rainfall in the Finn Valley area, and if not a record wettest, it won't be far off it.
Yeah. I'll say if we had normal rainfall for the rest of November and December, it's well on the way to be the second wettest year I've recorded, and since I've officially done it over the last 20. Whether it be the wettest or not would take an exceptional amount of rain, but it's certainly up there in the top 1 or 2 years in terms of rainfall.
Patrick Kelly there. And now for some other items of farming news. The IFA Deputy President Tim O'Leary has said the proposed reduced inspection rate from 5% to 1% announced by the EU Commission this week is a welcome development. But he added that more needs to be done to ensure that there is greater flexibility in the interpretation of rules governing inspection. He said the Commission must go further and ensure that payments are not held up for the most spurious of reasons, as we are seeing this year, when many farmers' payments have been held up because of issues such as dual claims, overclaims, and things like digitisation. According to the Livestock and Meat Commission of Northern Ireland, there is a 112 cent a kilo difference in the prices paid for R3 steer beef in the Republic of Ireland and Britain. According to figures that it has produced, this equates to a 339 euro difference in carcass value for a 300 kilo steer produced in the Republic of Ireland compared to Britain. The difference in the heifer price currently sits at 98 cents a kilo, which results in a carcass value difference of 294 euro for a 300 kilo heifer. Meanwhile, strong sterling has resulted in more Irish beef becoming available on the UK market in the form of minced beef. That's according to one UK-based beef commentator. Robert Forster, the editor of the Beef Industry Newsletter, said that the volume of Irish beef becoming available on the UK market has been as a result of the strong sterling and also a weak euro. He told the Agriland website that the stronger sterling rate has pulled more imported beef into the UK market, and 76% of deliveries between January and August were from the Republic of Ireland. He added that the bulk of imports from the Republic of Ireland arrive in mince form, either to McDonald's or Burger King, or for the standard price range retailed by Tesco, Asda and Sainsbury's. And moving on to the livestock prices, cattle prices, steers making €3.90 a kilo, heifers €4.05 a kilo, R-grade bulls €3.90 to €4 a kilo, and U-grade bulls €4.05 a kilo. O-grade cows €3.45 a kilo, U-grade cows making €3.70 a kilo. And sheep prices, spring lamb €4.90 a kilo to 23 kilos, and ewes €2.80 a kilo. Well, that's it for this week's edition. Many thanks for listening. Until next week, have a good week.
Farming News and Views, brought to you in association with the Farming Independent. First with the Farming News and Views every Tuesday.